Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome back to the North Point Community Church podcast. Hey, at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free North Point app where you can access all of our recent message content. And actually, the app is the easiest way to share all this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around here at North Point. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Happy summer, North Point. I want to welcome everybody that's watching and listening online, anybody watching at any one of North Point's network churches. It is such an honor to be here today. We've been in a series called Voices for the past couple of weeks. Week one, we heard from Jeremy Cowart, and he taught us that there are two words that perhaps we need to remove from our life, and it's the words, I can't. Jeremy shared a powerful story of all of the things that perhaps were supposed to set him back that actually set him up to be a world-renowned photographer. And it's a powerful story. I encourage you, if you haven't listened to it or watched it yet, go back and check out week one. Week two was Scott Harrison. And he has a transformational story of how God sort of knocked him off his horse a little bit and turned his life around. And it led to him starting an organization called Charity Water. And what Charity Water does is they built wells all around the world, and people can actually give away their birthday. What do I mean by that? That means people that are going to get you gifts for your birthday, you can say, hey, go to this link, and instead of getting me gifts for my birthday, why don't you go ahead and support something that really, really matters to me and should really, really matter to you. And he said a line that really resonated with me personally. He said, in the kingdom of God, there is no dirty water. And so in our world today, we should live in a world where nobody has to drink dirty water. So he encouraged all of us to go to this website, charitywater.org/Atlanta. They created it just for this community. And I'm going to be giving away my birthday. I turned 31 in just a few weeks. And so I would encourage you to do the same. And now we're in week three. And today I'm going to talk about the voice of courage. Now, before we get started, you have to know this about me. I am a married man. This is a picture of me and my wife. We always sit in fields of grass together. Now, I know exactly what you're all thinking. How in the world did he get her? Let me explain. About 6 years ago, I overheard my wife tell a friend that she thought it would be cool to get engaged and married on the same day. I had no idea what that meant, so I just guessed and started doing some recon work and started investigating what it would take for me, I guess, to plan a wedding. So I'll never forget the first time I went to a wedding venue. I said, hey, can I speak to your wedding person or like wedding coordinator? I'm like, that person, yes. And so we sit down together and she asked a very normal question. She said, well, when are you getting married? I said, I'm not sure. She said, where's your fiance? I said, I don't have one. She was like, okay, well, when are you going to propose? I said, you see, that's the thing. The day of the wedding. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm just trying to figure it out. So over the course of 2 years, I sort of followed the breadcrumbs and would ask one question per date and put a wedding together over the course of 2 years. And 3 weeks before our wedding, I find out that she has a page on this website called Pinterest. And there was a section entitled My Dream Wedding and it had 224 photos on it. That would have been helpful 6 months ago. Nevertheless, it was a great checklist for me to, you know, go through. And so on June 7, 2013, I get down on one knee and I say, babe, will you marry me? She said, yes. I said, just kidding. Will you marry me today? And we opened up a lounge room with about 100 of our family and friends standing in there with a sign that said, today! And we rolled in a dress, hairstylist, makeup artist, everything that you would need to get engaged and married on the same day. We were engaged for a very long time of 8 hours. So that's our story. We got engaged and married on the same day, started having sex right away and had a baby. This is our son, Jackson. Jackson Carter Leak, the absolute, that's how it works, folks, in case you're wondering. Jackson, he's going to be 3 in November. And parenting has been an interesting journey for us. Fathering has been an interesting journey for me. And there are some things that they don't tell you at the hospital when you take the baby away. Like you just, and their parenting books don't even have some of the things that I have to deal with on a daily basis. The other day I was sweeping my pavement, had a few leaves, and I said, I like people to be able to walk into my house nice and clean. I don't like leaves out there, so I'm sweeping. Now Jackson is at the age where he wants to mimic everything that I do. So he wants to come help clean. Well, we live in Dallas, Texas, and it's 105 degrees outside. So he comes out, he goes, Dada. I said, Jackson, go back inside because you'll die out here in this heat, okay? So I'm out here sweeping. He's like, Dada. I was like, you can't help. You can help me with something inside, but not outside. He goes inside, shuts the door, and locks it. That's my phone's inside, my wife's gone, and I said, Jackson, quit playing. Open this door. Right now. He's in there laughing. I said, Jackson, I'm gonna need you to open this door right now. Neighbors are now looking. Hey, everything all right over there? Nothing to see here, buddy. We're just playing a little lock the door game, okay? He's about to open. You should try it with your kids sometimes, okay? Stay up on my business, okay? We're good. By the grace of God, the garage door was open, and we're first-time homeowners, you know, first-time home buyers, and it's a whole new life when you're a first-time homeowner. I remember before I bought a house, the conversations I would have with my friends. Ryan, what you doing today? Oh, man, I'm at the mall, man. I'm at Foot Locker. Oh, man, I'm at the movies. I'm at the gym. Like, regular stuff. Now, like, hey, Ryan, what you doing? Man, I'm at Home Depot. I go to Home Depot like I go to the grocery store. My wife's like, can you pick up some bananas and a weed whacker on the way home? One of my friends, he said, hey, because you live in Texas and it gets really dry, you know, like you gotta protect your foundation. So you're gonna need a soaker hose. I'm like, what's a soaker hose? He's like, it's a hose you wrap around your house so that, you know, the water can seep down and you take care of the foundation. So I go to Home Depot. I say, hey, how's it going? Home Depot's awesome. Okay, they got great customer service. I said, I'm doing well. How are you? They're like, I'm doing good. What are we building today? I said, building today? Nothing. I'm like, do you understand the plight of the first-time homebuyer? I'm not building anything today. I just came to get a soaker hose. Oh, so we're installing a sprinkler system. Nah, I am the sprinkler system. What? No, I just need a soaker hose. So we go to aisle 47, and she said, is this all you're going to be having today? I said, I mean, you have to understand something about the clientele of Home Depot. They don't even use the carts. They use crates. Dee, dee, dee. They're backing stuff up to their truck, you know. So I pulled up in a four-door sedan. They know I'm a first-time visitor, okay? Like you just feel a little insecure. I'm like, I mean, I'll take a few light bulbs if you got it, you know. Like, you're just trying to pick up something, and you can just feel the pressure to be this, like, awesome home improvement guy. Now I got to go buy a pickup truck. I don't want a pickup truck. You know, it's like, you just feel that pressure. I showed up here today, and the North Point staff's awesome. They're like, hey, man, how's it going? Hey, we need to mic you up. I said, okay, no problem. Mic me up. So they hand me a pack and this nice little microphone. And on the pack, it reads, Andy. I said, y'all ain't got no other packs? I'll take any other pack. I'm sure. I'll take a Trevor, even an Andrew, like something. I don't know about you, but I think all of us on some level or another can feel the pressure to fill the roles that we live in our lives based off of who we are to our family, who we are to friends, coworkers, maybe a college student, that somehow life puts a pressure on us to meet the expectations of other people. Maybe you feel like you're not doing enough as a mom. Maybe you feel like you're not doing enough as a father or as the head of the household or as the employer or the business owner or the coach. You fill in the blank. Whatever hat you wear today, there is a pressure that comes with that. And I believe that there's a guy in the Bible that felt the pressure that we also feel to perhaps fill the shoes of people. Maybe we were never meant to wear their shoes. Maybe we get so busy living other people's expectations of our life that we never get around to live our life for ourselves. And here's what I know about me, and here's what I know about you. God has a plan for your life, so do other people. They've got a plan for where you should work, the emblem that should be on your car, how much money you should make, who you should date, when you should marry them, when you guys should start having kids, where they should go to school, and what their degree should be, who you should vote for, Everyone has this idea of who we should be. And if we're not careful, we can be so consumed with what other people want us to do that we miss out on what God has actually called us to do. And God begins speaking to a man in the Bible, and his name is Joshua. Now, what you have to understand about what God is about to say to Joshua is you have to understand Joshua's situation. He is about to fill the shoes of Moses. Moses is a big deal, okay? A New Testament writer said this about Moses, that Jesus was greater than Moses. When the receivers of Hebrews heard this, it was like somebody saying LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. They went, what? Are you crazy? Like Moses is like the God. Moses is such a big deal to God that in Deuteronomy, it says that when Moses died, God buried Moses in the mountains. You know you're a big deal if God does your funeral, okay? So that's the guy Joshua is succeeding. Like, that's the guy he's filling the role for. And God says this to Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Then it says this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you're Joshua, you're going, I don't know if I can even be Moses. And God's going, I'm not asking you to be Moses. I'm just asking you to be strong and be brave. And I want you to step into who I've called you to be, not who other people want you to be. And for some of us, it's this thing of we constantly are dreaming privately, but we get very nervous to share it with other people. And I love what God tells Joshua. He says, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. And one of the number one things that will dismay you from dreaming, that will dismay you from being the person you've always wanted to be, is other people's opinions. We desire to live a life that is likable. We desire to live a life that is popular, that is approved, that is safe. And when all of a sudden we start to dream, when we want to tell somebody that, you know, I've been thinking about writing a book, it's like, well, why you? And you go, well, I'd rather just not share it and just live a safe life. Why take a risk? Why really live the life that I actually want to live? I had a friend about a year and a half ago that passed away. Her name, Liz Shepherd. And Liz was an extra mile type of person. I say that whenever you are moving, that's the day you find out who your real friends are. Here's why. You don't like moving your own stuff, let alone somebody else's stuff. So people will always say, yeah, I'll help you move. And the day of, they come up with the craziest excuses. They start soccer leagues that didn't even exist on the day that you're moving. And that's exactly what happened to me. I had 20 friends. Yeah, I'll help you move. But they all bailed except Liz. Liz said, hey, I would be more than willing to help you move, but me and my husband, we only have one car, and so I'm stuck at the house. And I said, well, you know, my car is at my old place, and the keys are there. If there's any way you can get there, I'll be at the new place with the moving truck. If you can't figure it out, no big deal. And then it started thundering and raining outside. Liz puts on a raincoat, runs 3 miles through downtown Dallas, gets in my car, fills it up, and brings it to the new house. And I'm just going, you're not an extra mile person. You're an extra 3 miles person. And I'll never forget our celebration service when we walked in and we all just kind of started sharing these stories about who Liz was. And she was just a carpe diem type of person. She lived life to the fullest every single day. And that was the resounding theme of the entire service, so much so that it stopped being about Liz and we started one-upping each other with Lizzie stories. I'm like, hey, Liz ran 3 miles for me. They're like, no, Liz ran 4 miles for me. One time Liz saved a cat out of a tree. I'm like, Liz ain't saved no cat out of no tree. They're like, here's the picture. You're like, Jesus, this person's awesome. And her husband got up and he started to share a few things about his wife. And he read this scripture found in 1 Corinthians. And it says this, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. He read it on and on and on and on. And then he said, hey, couldn't we substitute the word love for Liz? And then he read this. Liz is patient and kind. Liz does not envy or boast. Liz is not arrogant or rude. Liz does not insist on her own way. Liz is not irritable or resentful. We all just sat there and just said, that's Lizzie. That describes it perfectly. And then a few of us left, and somebody goes, you know, I want somebody to be able to read a Bible verse and substitute my name with scripture. I said, you're going to have to start being kind, okay? You're going to have to start being patient, you know? There is something in us that wants people to say things about us that we don't actually live out. It's as if on the day of our celebration service, we want our friends and our family to get up and be like, oh yeah, man, Ryan was just the most generous person in the world. But if that's what I want them to say, then I'm going to have to start being generous. You think about it right now. What do you want your reputation to be when you're gone? What do you want your kids to say about you? Or do you want them to make up stuff at your celebration service? Yeah. Dad was, he was great. He was great. Or do you want them to have story? I mean, on some level, I left that celebration service with this thought. Become today who you intend to be tomorrow. Become today who you intend to be tomorrow, because we all have great intentions of being greater later. We all have a grand plan for losing 90 pounds in 2018. I mean, there's it's always greater later. We're going to start eating healthy, not after church, but, you know, Monday. And we think one salad will erase all of our sins. No, that's not how it works. Become today who you intend to be tomorrow. You're not going to, oh, I'm going to start being a better father later. Oh, I'm going to start engaging in a few months. How's that plan worked out for you historically? No, you if you're going to do it now. Don't apologize later. Do it today. Don't write the encouraging letter you've been meaning to write for your coworker. No, write it today and give it to them tomorrow. Or just Facebook them. That's a lot easier. I mean, ultimately, you got to ask yourself this question as it relates to the person you dream of being, the better version of yourself that you envision. You ultimately got to answer this question. What are you waiting for? Now, you can fill in the blank on that easy. Maybe you're waiting for more money to be more generous. Maybe you're waiting for more time to be more generous. Maybe you're waiting for a set of circumstances to line up in your favor. Maybe you're waiting for your circumstance to change your circumstance. You're waiting for something. Maybe you're waiting for a boss to recognize you. Maybe you're waiting for validation. Maybe you're waiting for your marriage to get better. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. You're smart. You can go home. You write that down. You go, this is what I'm waiting for. Maybe somebody here is waiting on God. That's okay. He's a good person to wait for. Now, you can figure that out. Here's a question you may never know the answer to. Who's waiting on you? Who is waiting on you? We're not talking about a what issue, but a who issue. Because see, here's the reality. While you wait to write that song, that book, while you wait to start that business, there is somebody who is waiting on you and you've yet to meet them because you haven't written the book yet. Perhaps you're in your 40s and you remember what it was like to be a teenager. You remember what it was like to be in college and to struggle with insecurities and to be able to walk through a mall and not know what to buy and trying to fit in. And what you learned is that the older you got, the less you cared about that stuff and the who's in your mattered more. And the who's in your life was the thing that you went, I wish I would have spent my time investing more in people than in stuff. And you, that's a book that you should write because there's a teenager waiting for you to write it. Who is waiting on you? And you'll never meet that teenager unless you write the book. And who's waiting? Is it your family that's waiting on you to engage? Who is waiting on you? And you may never know the answer to that question unless you become today who you intend to be tomorrow. Now, as a part of the surprise wedding, we have the whole day filmed. You can go home and type in the surprise wedding on YouTube. It's got about 1.5 million views. As it went viral, we got to go on a few television shows. We got to go on Good Morning America, The Today Show. And the last show that we got to appear on was The Queen Latifah Show. Hey! And when we went on The Queen Latifah Show, Queen Latifah asked my wife, she said, hey, do you think you could surprise Ryan the same way he surprised you? Wife said, I think I can. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. What do we got here? She says, Ryan, me and the queen have been working on a little surprise for you. So I want you to go ahead and check out this video. And on the screen came Kobe Bryant. This was my face when I saw Kobe Bryant on that screen. This is what Kobe said. And he said, hey, Ryan, I want you to know, I heard about your wedding. I want to invite you out to Staples Center, open invitation, pick any game you want. And I'll have you come out in the back and meet the fellas and we'll just hang out. And I said, bae, you are winning the game. It is over. Thank you so much. I love you. This is amazing. So the crazy part is I had 2 months to prepare to meet Kobe Bryant. Now, I don't really get starstruck, but Kobe Bryant is next level star. Okay, so I'm practicing in the shower how I'm going to meet Kobe Bryant. I'm like, got to give him a firm handshake. Okay. Hey, Kobe, how you doing? Your voice is too deep. You don't talk like that. You're doing too much, Ryan. Like, get it together. And I'm thinking, okay. He said, hang out. Is he more of a coffee guy? Are we getting dinner? Should I eat light during the day and save some for later? You know, I like to be a generous person. Should I pay for dinner? No, he's paying. No doubt about that. Okay, he's paying. No doubt. But I'm just trying to like manage all of it. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, what are we going to talk about? Kobe Bryant meets everybody. Like you got to have something interesting to say. And honestly, I'm wondering if who I am is enough to impress somebody who has made an impression on me. So I'm going, oh man, what are we? I'm going to say, hey, I work at a church. And I don't know what he's going to think about that. Okay, I'm a motivational speaker. He's already motivated. So it's not working. I'm a filmmaker. Everyone in LA is a filmmaker. I was like, no, this isn't working. This isn't working. This isn't working. What are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? I said, okay, so this is the conclusion I came to, okay? I said, the only way me and Kobe Bryant are going to have an intriguing conversation for him is if I'm in the NBA. So I decided I'm going to try out for an NBA team. Now, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, you might not be able to tell from your vantage point, but I am 6'3", and I am very good at basketball. Okay, I was an All-American at a D3 school, but today, I am YMCA really good. There is a gap between YMCA good and NBA good, okay? It's called the National Basketball Association for a reason. National, okay? I'm at a local YMCA good level, okay? Like, I'm not in any leagues, anything like that. But nevertheless, I thought, man, I'm going to give it a shot. And that's what me and Kobe are going to talk about. So I'm getting in great shape, eating right. I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm jumping out the gym. I'm doing 360. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Well, one of my friends played for the Chicago Bulls. He had just gotten cut, comes back to Dallas for playing one-on-one. I'm like, oh, this is great. I can really like see where I'm at, measure myself up against his athleticism, and this is going to be great. So I'm 6'3", 195. He's 6'6", 245. Okay? We're playing one-on-one. He beats me by a considerable margin every game. And I thought to myself, if they cut you, woo, it's going to be a long day. And I just realized, I'm going to fail. And the weight of failure just sat on me at a gymnasium in Dallas. And then I had a moment. I thought for a second, every single successful person you and I know has this common denominator. They fail. So why are we all so afraid of it again? Why is it that our society has allowed failure to paralyze us emotionally? Why have we allowed the simple fear of failure keep us from dreaming altogether? How do I know I will fail trying out for an NBA team unless I've actually tried? So I said, you know what? I'm going to chase failure. And that day, the Chasing Failure Project was birthed. And so this was my plan. I said, you know what? I want to encourage the world to not stand in this long line of people trying to chase success. But I want to teach businesses and schools and churches. I want to teach people that failure doesn't have to define them. So let's see what failure's got, and then we'll see what I got, and let's just see what happens on a video. So when I met Kobe Bryant, I said, my name's Ryan, I'm a filmmaker, and my new documentary is called Chasing Failure. I believe so many people are just so afraid to fail that they end up doing nothing, and I want to pull some dreams off the shelf and see some people really start living. Kobe Bryant was standing there just like this, focused. I'm like, dude, are we playing basketball right now? Why are you looking at me like this? Like, And as soon as I finished talking, he said, every kid in America needs to hear that message. I said, yeah, what you said. Yeah, this sounds like a great idea, Kobe. Yeah, it's mine, okay? Don't try and steal it, Kobe. Like, this is me right now. And then he says something that really threw me off. He said, Ryan, when you're done, send me that documentary. I said, oh, that means I got to do it now. I was kind of hoping this would just be a great combo, and I just kind of sneak out. The Staples Center would be great. Nobody ever knows, but it's like, now, for you, let me help you understand something. The NBA, the National Basketball Association, a multi-billion dollar organization, does not allow motivational speakers slash pastors slash authors to try out for the basketball teams, okay? That's not how it works. It's not a YMCA league. It's the National Basketball Association. So I have told Kobe Bryant, my family, my friends, my church, leadership conferences, that I am chasing failure and trying out for an NBA team, except I wasn't lying. I was just hoping and praying that an NBA team would give me a shot. And so I did the thing that we all do when we don't know what to do. I Googled it and I found the PR directors for every NBA team. And I started emailing them one by one. And the pitch went something like this. Hey, my name's Ryan. I'm not crazy. I have a project called Chasing Failure. And I believe so many people are afraid to fail, and I don't think it's something that we should run from. I think it's something that can actually make us who we actually want to be in the first place. So, the thing that I want to fail is I want to fail trying out for your basketball team. Now, here's the reality. There are so many fans that you have all across this city that I know are afraid to fail. And you believe that they should chase their dreams just as much as I do. You believe in that message so much, you give a stranger a chance to try out for your basketball team. Now, here's the reality. I'm probably going to fail. The only way we're either one of us going to know is if you let me try. What do you say? Boston Celtics wrote back. They were the first one I emailed. And they wrote back and said, hey, we really like this story, but it's just not for us. I said, oh, man, that's discouraging. Then I thought, wait a second. Did the Boston Celtics just email me back? Like, what did you do today? You know, it's like, hello? Like, I'm just a normal person. Like, how in the world is this happening? Like, they're humans over there? It's cool. Like, this is, I'm like, so now I got a little confidence. I'm like, I'm about to email everybody. So I'm like, this is going to be great. So I'm just emailing tons of teams. And about the fourth team I heard back was from the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns said, hey, we love this idea. Come on Monday. Monday, like you mean this Monday, like a couple of Mondays, so I can have some time to run around a little bit more than I've been doing. Monday, they're like, yeah, bring your camera crew. Yeah, well, we, whoever these people are, we will be there on Monday. Can I be honest with you for a second? I thought the Chasing Failure documentary was going to be about me sitting at my laptop emailing 30 NBA teams being told, no, you feel bad for me. Like, he can do it. He's going to make it. I was like, I don't know. So when they said yes, I was kind of surprised. I'm like, Monday? Okay, great. So I go to a video guy at my church. I'm like, hey, man, let me talk to you for a second. Let me holler at you, man. Hey, man, what you doing this weekend? Need you to cancel your plans, taking you to Phoenix. We're going to do a little film project. He said, what are we filming? I said, man, you know, you probably heard me talk about Chasing Failure. And he goes, yeah, the NBA thing? I said, yeah. They want me to try out on Monday. He goes, are you serious? I was like, yep, I'm pretty serious. He's like, okay, I'm in. Now, the next interesting conversation was with my boss, my pastor. I said, hey, man, can I talk to you for a second? He's like, yeah, man, what's going on? Hey, you know that Tuesday meeting we got? I ain't going to be there. He's like, where are you going to be? I said, man, I'm going to be in Phoenix. He said, oh, are you out speaking somewhere? Nah, I'm going to be trying out for the Phoenix Suns. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm trying out for the Phoenix Suns. It's a project about failing. It's It's a long story, but I'm just letting you know I'm taking a few days off of work. And he said, well, what if you make it? I said, I'm gonna quit. Duh. What do you think I'm gonna do? Huh? I'm like, hey, but don't worry. I'm gonna fail, bro. Don't worry. I'm not going nowhere. Pray for me. Or don't. Whatever. And so here's what you get to do. You get to go to RyanLeek.com and you get to watch the documentary called Chasing Failure. You see me try out for the Phoenix Suns and over a course of 2 days, it's 15 minutes long. And the spoiler alert is this, I failed. And can I tell you something? It was it's one of the best days of my life. Because something happened in Phoenix that couldn't happen anywhere else. And I was doing a drill where it was just pure running, pure sprinting. I think they were trying to kill me. At one point, I couldn't feel my back, couldn't feel my legs. I don't even know what it was I was doing. I couldn't say it was walking or running or jogging. I was just limping up and down, and I don't know what to call that. And I thought, Ryan, this has to be the worst idea you've ever had in your life. You decided to sign up for failure and invite a cameraman with you. Who does that? And so I'm like, most people fail privately. You want to fail publicly? Great job. Genius. And I'm like, well, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. These other NBA players are looking at me like, you really thought you could come in from the YMCA and just make it? It's like, I'm like, I don't know what I was thinking. What was I thinking? And like, this is how you're going to die. And you invited a cameraman. Jesus, this is helping. Like, what is going on? And as I'm going back and forth, kangarooing or whatever you want to call it, I see that I keep going past the Phoenix Suns logo on their practice court. And I ask myself, I'm like, Ryan, how in the world did you even end up here? And this is what I realized. Chasing failure took me further than chasing success ever did. And in that moment, I thought, man, failure really ain't so bad after all. And as I'm huffing and puffing and almost near death, Coach Jeff Hornacek begins to put his hands together for me. He's like, it's okay, Ryan. You got this. Finish strong. And then the whole team started to put their hands together. Come on, Ryan. Finish strong. It's a trash can at the end. You can throw up later. I'm like, that's exactly what I plan on doing. And just for a few moments, I was a Phoenix Sun. And Coach Jeff Hornacek wasn't Coach Jeff Hornacek. Coach Jeff Hornacek was my coach for just a few moments. You see, it's so funny now I can go into a business or go into a church and people will tell me the craziest stuff that they want to do. And they're like, so what do you think? I said, I think it's absolutely crazy. You think I can do it? No. They're like, then why should I do it? Because you're alive, maybe for the first time. Look at you. Look at yourself when you talk about your dream. Look how much you're leaned in. Look, you got tears in your eyes telling me about it. And if it moves you now, imagine what it could do for your whole life. Go for it. Yeah, you got a lot of voices in your life. I get it. But maybe I'll just be the one crazy one that just goes, not why you, why not you? And maybe you have come here today. Maybe somebody brought you today and you've got a long list of excuses as to why you can't be and you fill in the blank. Maybe for one day, maybe just today, you go, but what if I'm wrong? What if all of those things that I feel like disqualify me are the exact things that God wants to use to make the story even better? What if we just had a different perspective on the list of insecurities and disqualifications? What if we said, you know what? Failure ain't so bad after all. Because now I live in a world I'm not afraid of anything. In fact, 3 weeks ago, I emailed the Atlanta Hawks. I said, y'all need it, okay? You need me. Just kidding. But I said, hey, here's the deal. For me, it's not about succeeding, winning, or losing. For me, it's about teaching people that they do not have to live their life with a lid. And that they don't have to live their life through a label of something else that somebody else put on them. I want people to know that, man, a life with God is one that is full of limitless possibilities. So, Hawks, why not? You got people in Atlanta that are afraid to fail, and they shouldn't be. So let's pull their dreams off the shelf together. You can tell me no. But maybe somebody is here today to simply know that their failures don't have to define their life. That the people that told you no, the people that rejected you don't have to define the trajectory of your entire life. That maybe those are the things that happened to you for a reason, and perhaps they could shape your life, not destroy it. Contrary to popular belief, the divorce that you went through does not have to define the trajectory of your life. That failed test, that lost job, that economy crash where you lost it all, whatever you fill in the blank, that does not have to define the trajectory of your life. Here's a verse that I believe helps us understand the trajectory of a life. It's found in Proverbs chapter 3. And the Bible says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. Now, maybe you're a church person, maybe you're not, but I don't even want us for a moment to focus on what is being said. I want us to focus on who said it. It's a guy by the name of King Solomon. Now, King Solomon, according to history, not according to the Bible, okay, like to stay with me, like according to history, his net worth today would be $2.1 trillion. Your calculator don't got that many zeros. That's with a T. $2.1 trillion. This is a guy that the Bible shows us was incredibly wise, and history shows us was incredibly wealthy. He had experienced success at the highest level. And this, if we could invite one of the richest, wisest men ever onto the stage, and I got to interview him and say, hey, Solomon, tell them what you think is the key to paving the way for a future successful life. This is what King Solomon would tweet. If you're following him on Twitter today, he would say, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. He would say, hey, here's the deal. Your dreams don't belong to you. And we're talking about one of the wisest, most successful people in history. He's going, as smart as I am, and what? I wouldn't lean on what even I know if I could go back. And so Solomon is helping us to go, hey, you're not responsible for making your own dreams happen. And some of us are consumed trying to make it happen because we feel like we are responsible for the trajectory of our life. We feel like we are the ones that constantly have to be the people that give the wisdom to our family. Some of you aren't just so concerned about making your path straight and paving a way for you. Some of you are consumed because you believe it is your sole responsibility to pave the way for your kids. And that alone has been eating you up. Can you imagine if you went home and did an exercise and got the family around and said, hey, here's the deal. I know most of our advice goes in one ear and out the other. You got teenagers and they're in college and they you think you know everything. They think you know nothing. And you kind of go back and forth and it's somewhere in the middle. But you just say, hey, here's the deal. I just want to teach you one lesson. Hey, here's the deal. Everybody gather around. You pull out a dollar bill. Then you say, hey, whether we have a lot of these or not a lot of these, this is a lesson I want our family to be known for. When you go to college and somebody breaks your heart and you're trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces when you lose your first job or maybe you lose a house, whatever the case may be, I want the mantra of our family to be what's on this dollar bill: in God we trust. No matter what happens. Oh, we're not going to be a family that is dismayed. We're going to be a family that constantly puts our trust in God. When you are sitting in the room with a broken heart, trust in the Lord. When you're going, I don't see how this marriage is going to make it, this is what Solomon would say: give that to God. When you're looking at your finances and trying to figure out how to make ends meet, Solomon would say, give that to God. When you're trying to figure out what to do with your kids, can you imagine if just early in the morning you got up and just said, God, they're yours. I trust you with the trajectory of their life. I trust you with their path, and I'm not going to spend my life trying to twist arms into getting people to do what I want them to do, because I trust you. Lord, I've got this concern with my career and what's going to happen and when is it going to be my time and when am I going to be able to? And you're filling in the blank with all of these dreams and these hopes, not just for you, but for other people. And what would it look like for a community of people to go, God, you can have that and use it how you want to. Here's what I know about you. Here's what I know about me. Trying to be the managers of our own path and our own life is absolutely exhausting. And you might be sitting here today, you might be listening today, and you know, you've been in the driver's seat way too long. What would it look like for you to just go, Lord, you can have this marriage. It's yours. Lord, you can have the mess that I've made with my own life. And I want to surrender it to you. Because you see, for Joshua was going, Lord, when I'm looking at my life and all the things that are ahead of it, he has a lot of reasons to be afraid. But what God tells him is that I want you not to be dismayed. I want you to be strong and courageous, not because you're awesome. Not because you're amazing. Not because I even think you're going to be greater than Moses. I don't even care about that. Let me tell you what's going to help you be successful. Based off of who is with you. And it's me. God's going, hey, I am my own insurance policy. I got you. Be strong. Be courageous. So the only reason I ask you this question, and this is the last thing for the day. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? The only reason I ask you that question is because it makes you sit up a little bit. It makes you lean in a little bit. And it brings to mind things that you need God to do. Whatever comes to mind, don't try and do it on your own. And regardless of where you're watching from today or where you're listening from, you are not too old for your dream. You are not too young for your dream. If you are a student, what you must understand is that most of the disciples were teenagers and they flipped the world upside down. If you say, I'm too old, read the Old Testament. It's a lot of people that God used in your age range, some older, some twice your age. So just check it out. You might say, hey man, you don't know me. You don't know, I've done some time in prison. And that's actually good news because, you know, there's a few books in the Bible that were written by men who were in prison. There is no excuse that you can give me that would make me believe that God is done with you. God wants to not just do something through you. God wants to do something with you. That's why he says, be strong, be courageous. And he doesn't want you to be afraid of anything, especially failure. I believe that is the voice of courage. Father, I thank you so much for this community of believers. And I pray, God, that today we would not trust in ourselves to help ourselves. I pray, God, that we would not lean on our own understanding to make our own path straight, to even be looking for some sort of solution to our problem. God, I pray that whatever it is, we would trust you with it. I pray that in everything that we do, that we would surrender our future hopes and dreams to you. And in light of all of that, in light of all the things that you want to do through and with us, may we not be afraid to fail. May we really live a life where we are truly leaned in to everything that you have for us. May we not be consumed with what everybody else wants us to do. May we be consumed with who you have called us to be. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. North Point, it has been awesome to be with you today. I'll be in the bookstore, the connections area, signing books, and would love to meet you over there after this dismissal. Hey, have a great day.